man, what a week it's been. What a year it's been. I can't even believe it's September. Can you imagine this year just being gone? And won't you be glad just like me to say goodbye, 2020? Hope you never come back. As Sister Helen says, see you later, wouldn't want to be ya. Or see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. Yeah. Anyway, I'm so thankful. I got to get away to the beach a couple of days this week. A couple nights, I'll say. And it was so nice. It was like in the 50s, and it was just, it was cold, and got to sit by the fire out at the hotel. It was so nice, and so I'm real happy about that. Sitting out there one morning, and the fog was rolling in over the water, and I'm thinking, now in a little while, I'll be headed home, and the fog is out over the water. You couldn't see the sun, but I thought, I'm sure the sun is lurking around somewhere. Got about halfway home, and it just popped out. There it was. Thank God it wasn't three digits, but it was two. It was about 95, I think, which was better than it had been. But when I got home, there was just a different kind of fog over us. There was a different kind of covering of the sun, and that was the smoke-filled air. In fact, I just heard from Ryan that one of the towers has gone down there, one of their towers from OC's internet. And I see he's gone now. They must have called. Oh, he's up there. Okay, Ryan. Thank God you're here. Anyway, one of their towers got down, and up by Camp Nelson, they've evacuated, but the fires came down there and I guess burnt two cabins of the people that live there. So, God, take care of them. Take care of our local mountains, the Ponderosa area, Camp Nelson. And, David, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the fire department, all those guys. But we're glad to have you in service today, David. Good to see you. Don't take my babies over, though, just because you're home. But there was a different kind of smoke, and I walked out this morning, and the ash was on my car. And the sun's been looking orange. Then you turned on the TV, and there was, we were remembering 9/11. And again, you saw the smoke rolling as those planes hit the building, and the smoke was just billowing, and it was crazy, and people were running, and they were hiding, and they were trying to get to safety, and people looked up, and you and I saw it on the news as people were jumping from the building, and you're, We couldn't fathom what was happening in America. Remember that day I was staying with my mother overnight? Sarah and I were there, and Robert Hawkins called me about 6:30 that morning, and he said, Pastor, get up, get up. We've been bombed. And I said, Robert, who's been bombed? He said, America. And I couldn't understand what he was saying. He said, just go turn the TV on. He hung up. Turned the TV on, and the one plane had already hit the building, and it was red with fire, orange fire coming out. And then you watch this other airplane come right into the next building. Most of you saw it. And I thought, did he do that on purpose? And then we saw that, yes, he did do it on purpose. Two diabolical plans of the devil hit those towers and killed over 2,000 people that day. And it was just devastating for America and the world. And so many things just haven't been the same since. Like going into the hospital, you know, to visit someone they were used to. Just a short few months ago, they would wand you up and down and check your purse and take your cell phone until you came out of ER when they're calling on someone. And I was thinking how at that time people got afraid to go into the malls. I know one of my friends, her son is a policeman in Bakersfield, and he's like, I don't even want you to go into that Bakersfield mall, into Valley Plaza. Don't go in there. Don't take our son. I don't want you in the mall. And so people begin to run afraid and lock themselves up. A lot of people in New York, they had a hard time knowing when to go out. And how, you know, you can run all these parallels, and you look at that and you think, well, we're billowing with smoke again. California is burning. Millions of acres have burned, and the fire and the smoke is billowing again. It's just coming all over. And the COVID virus, it's just been flowing in, and And we've been praying against it. Thank God it's about blown out. They're saying it's not, but I believe it is because the numbers are so falling. They're falling. The death numbers are falling. The cases are falling. But we've had all these riots and the hatred and the burnings and the political upheaval and all of the trafficking that we're hearing about, the human trafficking, which is so sad. But now that's being uncovered, and we haven't even seen yet how much is yet to be uncovered. The prophets are all prophesying that, but we all know it according to our prayers because we've been praying, and we know that a lot of it's going to be uncovered. It's just going to, and the civil unrest has never been greater than at this time, so there's just so much going on, and when we look at that, they locked us or tried to get us in, except for the essential workers, they called essential workers, and the supermarkets and places that carried food and gas and a few things like that. It was cracked me up. Even the pet stores were open. You got to feed the dogs and cats, you know. But they were opened while many of us stayed inside and kept the children inside. And we did that for 3 months. The churches were closed, you know, the story, schools, everything. Schools still closed. They want us to still stay closed, but we're open. And so it's a different scenario. Everything's different now. They chose to lock themselves up. We didn't. We were forced to go inside. But maybe it was good. You know, we were masked. We're still taking precautions here in the church. Please don't be hugging each other. Please don't touch. I'm just telling you, you say, Pastor, that's crazy. Well, let it be crazy for you, but respect each other, okay? It's crazy for me too, but I'll do anything to prevent COVID from hitting this body. We've got a good friend that's a pastor, and COVID hit them and went through their church. Well, you got to be careful. You can't be going around hugging and not wearing masks and those kind of things right now. Okay, so let's just do what we got to do to ride this old horse all the way to the barn. Is anybody going to go with me? Yeah. All right now. So we're just going to stay on the horse and not let it throw us. Thank God for this good crowd we got this morning. And I bless you at home. If you're sick, you've got symptoms, you heard you got it, you're positive, please stay home. Okay, and if you're an elderly person, I thank God for some of our elderly folks we got in the house this morning. They've come out. They've not been afraid, but they've taken their precautions. You've taken your precautions for them. Please don't hug them. Don't hug each other. Just telling you, don't do any of that. Make sure your hands are washed, sanitized, and all of that. Yeah, I'm talking to all of you folks. So let's just do the best we can to take care of each other. Amen. So I want to go on to say, despite what was going on in Jesus' day, he saw all kinds of different things. You and I are seeing one thing. We saw 9/11. The people 100 years ago saw the downfall of depression. There was the people that saw the Dust Bowl in my dad's generation. So everybody has seen something. Okay, so it's not new that we are experiencing something. I mean, this century started out the first decade in 2001 with 9/11. We flipped over 10 more years into another decade, 2020. Now we see COVID. So there's every decade, there is something. But we have not seen the greatest outpouring the world has ever seen yet. And it's still to be upon us. And it always comes when it is the darkest in the land and in the world. So we know that we are at an exciting, exciting time for the church. So you hold on because the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus was on earth and so much was happening, I want to give you a scripture that Paul wrote out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Paul said this about Jesus. Jesus had already gone away at this point. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I want to encourage you with this. Now may the God of peace, who is he? He is the God of peace. The God of peace himself. He does it. Nobody else can do it for you. Now then may the God of peace himself sanctify you, say the word, completely. Is that what it says in the New King James? Sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body, that's all of us, body, soul, and spirit, be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. He will also do it. What? Make sure that your body, your soul, and your spirit is okay. That your body, your soul, and your spirit is altogether lovely and tied up and sanctified. That your body's not going to go crazy while your spirit's doing okay. I know the Bible says that my spirit is strong and my body is weak, or my flesh is weak. But I want to tell you, Jesus said, not only did I come for your spirit, but I came to make your soul whole. See, and our soul is what gives us the problems. Because we've got the spirit over here, which is just, we've got the spirit right here that's doing great. If it's intact with Jesus, if it's in relationship with him, it's fine, it's great, it's powerful, it's strong. But then you've got your flesh over here telling you one thing, whispering all kinds of negatives in your ear. You got all this. Or I don't know if I should. I don't know. I just can't get the mind of God. I don't know. It's so unsure. It's indecisive. Then you got the body over here. And the body just wants to hang out and do its own thing. The body, you say, well, my body, you know, my mind just has, my flesh has a mind of its own. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't have a mind of its own. No, when you're with Jesus, when you're feeding on him, your spirit has the mind of Christ. He says you have the mind of Christ. So no, our flesh don't have a mind of its own unless we allow it to. Yeah. Now, I've just proven, he said, put that scripture back up, honey, that he who called us is faithful, and he will do it. Do what? Do what? Sanctify our body, our souls, and our spirit. He said, I want you in complete wholeness. Leave that up for a minute. I want you to be a complete man, completely whole. Now, Jesus was always our healer from the cross. He took our sins. He took our sickness. He took our disease. He was our healer then. He will always be our healer. He's our healer now, and he will be our healer then. I'm calling this message today, and you'll see why in just a moment. I just want to call it, what is this? Because when the enemy treats you one way and devastates you one way, and Jesus turns it around and Jesus touches your body and your soul and your spirit, Satan has to look at you and say, what is this? He's devastated and he does not like it. And I'll tell you something else. When he hears you praying in the spirit, when he hears you praying in tongues, it devastates him because he has no idea what you are talking about. Because you are praying spirit to spirit, your spirit with God's spirit. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 28, chapter 8, verse 28, that he will speak to you. He will speak through you. The Holy Spirit will speak things that you don't even know what you ought to be praying. But he will pray through you if you will allow him to, excuse me, to take care of that body, your soul, and your spirit. Now let me just add one thing here before we go. 1 Peter 1:19 says we were. Somebody say were. That means you were. Was. It's over. It's done. It happened. You were redeemed. That means saved out of, separated. You were redeemed with the, this is what Peter said. I love this. With the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Now you know, in the Old Testament, when they offered up a lamb to be sacrificed, it had to be without blemish. It had to be without any kind of spot on it. It had to be absolutely perfect. And it had to be a male. And we have Jesus. It says, We were redeemed by his own precious blood, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. And then years ago, in the 80s, during the charismatic renewal, this was probably one of the most popular scriptures that we learned during that season. The faith preachers would tell us, Isaiah 53 and 5, by his stripes you are healed. That was Isaiah the prophet speaking right there to them. This is a now thing. By his stripes you are healed. Isaiah 53 and 5. You are. 1 Peter 2:24, New Testament, where Isaiah was looking toward the cross, way out there, 2,500 years ahead of time. He was looking toward the cross. One day this is going to happen. One day. And then Peter looked back at the cross. It had already happened. Peter and the disciples are looking back at the cross. And Peter wrote down and penned this, by his stripes, you were healed. You are, and you were. Isaiah says you are. Peter says you were. That was one of the most profound comparisons that we got, and we loved it, and we ate it up, and we never forgot it. My mother had migraine headaches. I mean, they were horrible migraines, and they would just, they would be horrible, and she'd have to stay in a darkened room, and I mean, she had them as we were growing up, and so now my dad had passed, and it was my two sisters and I. My other sister had married and went away, so Lainey and I were still home, and we'd call our pastor, come over. Maybe we took her to ER to get a shot, but it didn't work, and now she still has this headache, and she's throwing up, and she's very, very sick with it. And we called pastor, and he came over, and I'll never forget Pastor A.D. Salters. He came in, and we had just learned this verse, and he said to my mom, now listen, Sister Delk, I want to tell you something. Isaiah said that you are healed. But the good news is, Peter says you already were. Now, she couldn't even hardly think to hear him. But what she said, when he says, Miss Sister Delk, you were already healed. She said something went off in her. He said, you were. He said, Jesus can't come down here and heal you any more than you've already been healed. You've already been healed. And something went off in her. And do you know she never had another migraine after that? Am I telling the truth, Linda? She never had another migraine. Something went off in her to understand that Jesus did that at the cross. And then when he was dying, he said, it is finished. And it entails everything. It goes from poverty to sickness to deliverance. I don't care how long you've had that ugly thing tormenting you. It was all, it is finished. It was done at the cross. So if we can get on Peter's side and look back to the cross today and said, I were healed. I were. I'm done. It's over. I'm healed. Then someone suffering today with whatever you're suffering, grab a hold of it. You don't need anything else done. You just got to take it. It was done. Hallelujah. Well, Luke 8:46. I'm going to turn over there for a minute. I don't know how long I'll stay. I don't even know if you could follow me there. But I want to go to Luke. There's just so much in this. And it's so familiar to you. So I won't elaborate for a long time on it. But you know the lady who had the issue of blood. This is kind of funny when you think about it. Jesus was out. He was ministering. And he's walking along the shores in the cities. And, you know, he walked wherever he went. And here he is in Luke 8 and verse 40. It says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him and they were all waiting for him. I got a feeling wherever Jesus was, there were people waiting on him. And behold, there was a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him, and he got interrupted. So Jesus is walking along. This man says he's a ruler, or like a leader in the community, maybe the mayor or the governor, I don't know. He's walking along, and he's, Jesus, will you come to my house? My little 12-year-old is dying. All of a sudden, this woman interrupts. In verse 43, it says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind him, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Now, this woman interrupted. And she just came up behind Jesus and touched his clothes. And when she did, immediately, Jesus turned and said, who touched me? So let me tell you what happened. What was in him, it was already in him before he went to the cross. Even at this time, he's walking along. And when she touched him, this power, this virtue, this healing just came out of his body and it got on her. I mean, it just got on her. And it's amazing that she had this blood flow for 12 years. It was a terrible thing. To be sick for 12 years, to be sick for 20 years, to be sick for 50 years, however long you've had it. It's just a terrible thing. But I see her having this for 12 years, and that little girl was 12 years old. The little girl was 12. This was a mid-aged woman. And it was both 12. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've had it, how young the baby is, the teenager, just get over to Jesus. Now, Jesus will stop. Don't ever say, I'm driving past the hospital, I see all those cars, and my thing doesn't matter. No, Jesus stopped. I mean, he was on his way for this important man to heal his little daughter. But the woman, just a plain woman, a woman that was corrupt and nobody would go near her. Very sick, very poor. She was in poverty. She had spent all of her money on doctors. Nobody could help her. But when she touched him, oh, she touched him. She didn't say anything. It just, his healing just came out of him and got on her. And now she's healed. And all of a sudden, Jesus turned and said, who touched me? Now I want to tell you this, church. This is a beautiful thing. When his power leaves him and he heals somebody, you know what? He obviously must feel it. If he felt it then, he feels it now. Yeah. And if you at home and you sitting in this place will hear what I am telling you, yes. I believe he is wanting to release his glory. And release his healing virtue and release it and just let it get all over you. And then he wants to say, who did that? I felt it just leave me. See, when it hits you, it leaves him. And yet it just refurbishes himself. He's never out of the power. It's just always there. He's got enough for all of us. Judy, enough that no more of that asthma in your lungs. No more today. Take it. You were healed. You were. Just touch him this morning, Judy. Just reach out and touch him this morning and just let his healing power just come off of him and onto you. He said, I just want to come on you right there at home today. Somebody said to me the other day, and I honor this person. I'm not. Anyway. She said, you know, the devil's trying to steal the laying on of hands out of the church. I said, so what? If God's word said, we'll heal the sick by the laying on of hands, we'll heal the sick by the laying on of hands. When you pray for him in the grocery store, wherever, if he says, I'll do that, I'll do that. But I said, I just want us to be able to release the word and just say it and see him healed. Yeah. I believe God's so sick and tired of us taking the glory.
Oh, my Lord.
One time I was doing a Bible study for little senior women when my first daughter was a baby. And it was Peggy, it's over there where you and Joanna live. In fact, Joanna, your mother, was there at every service, every Friday morning. And so I was over there with those ladies, this little woman came in every day. She came in, and so we prayed with her. She said, pray for me. My neighbor is very sick, and I want to go pray for it, but I'm too shy to do it. And so we prayed, and I told her, I said, now, look, she needs you. Just go over there and maybe he's healing to her. Well, she goes over there. Long story short, she prayed. And she came back the next week, and she was ecstatic. God healed her. God healed her. I prayed, and God healed her. Well, the next week, I go back, and the little woman's not there. And I said, where is so-and-so? And they said, oh, she's not here. She's so upset, said her friend she prayed for died. And she's just mad at God. She's mad. I said, oh, no, 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 no. She better not be mad at God. Where does she get off thinking that's her business, whether somebody dies or lives? I thought, no, I don't care how old she is. She's not going to get by with those kind of actions. She's been saved and redeemed long, too long to act that way. So I go over and knock on her door. Door was open, the screen, there was a screen door, and nobody answered. I called her name. I said, you better open this door. You know who I am, and I need to talk to you. I said, now let me come in. No, I don't want to talk to anybody, not even you. I said, well, I don't care. You get out here because I'm not leaving. I shut the door and it was locked. You come out here. Came out. And I said, now, sis, listen to me. I was just a young girl. I said, now, last week we prayed you were all jazzed because your little friend was healed. I know, but she died, and that just embarrassed me to death because I prayed and I bragged about it. Well, that was her first mistake. So anyway, I was all thrilled, and then she died. I said, sis, you know what that's called? It's called pride. Pride. Now listen. I said, you told us that you told her about Jesus, and she gave her heart to the Lord. Well, she did. She gave her heart to Jesus, and I thought he healed her. But then he just alone. She was his business, and you won her to the Lord. You got her ready to enter heaven. Man, you ought to be shouting the victory. You ought to be dancing up and down. You got her ready to go. What are you over here crying the blues about? Don't ever get that kind of pride. I think I said all that to say this. You know, over the years, we've probably all been guilty of it, especially as we're younger in the Lord. Oh, man, I ministered to them, and they're saved. I prayed for them, and they got healed. They come up in the prayer line, and I prayed, and God healed them. Oh, I did this. And I think maybe God said, I'm about tired of that. You all get in my glory. You just better knock it off. I'll just clean the house myself. And I'll just have you be over there so you just speak the word now. And let my word, you just look back at the cross and let the word do it. Get rid of all the old pride. Well, let me go on before I get stuck right there. Anyway, Jesus told her when she said it was me. Finally, she tells him, he said, who touched me? Finally, she tells him why she touched him. See, we unload on him first. We tell him, Lord, my kids, my husband, my money, I need this, I need that. We tell him all that first. But this woman, she went and touched him first, got in the secret place. She found out where he was, and she went there. Now, you've got to find out where he is. Where is he? He's wherever you are. But if you've got a secret place where it's just you and him, no one else meets there, just you with him, that is better than any place you'll ever find. So she found out where he was. She went there, and then she touched him. This power went out of her into him, and then he said, who did that? I felt that leave me, and it went into you. Who did that? And she said, it was me. And then she begins to tell him, it's this blood issue. See, even if you've got a blood issue, a blood infection, something serious, a leukemia going on, a cancer going on, all of those things, oh, that virtue leaves him and just comes. It's no big deal for him. It's just not. I mean, it happened because of his beaten, bloody back and all the holes in his hands and his feet and his side and the bloody cross. It all happened because of that. Peter said his precious blood. So he said, now you rejoice, be of good cheer, verse 48. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Now she gets three things. He said, you rejoice, he meant be happy, because how many knows if you've had a flow like that when you've been having some blood disease for 12 years, you're not a happy camper. She was not happy. He said, now you go and rejoice, you be happy. And then he said, and he called her daughter too. I love that part. Oh, I love it. Daughter, you be of good cheer now. You be happy. Your faith has made you whole. Faith for what? Oh, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. It isn't about your faith. He just meant you had faith to touch me. You came where I was and you believed I had the goods. You believed if you touched me, something would come out of me. So the faith is, wherever he is, I know he's got the goods, and I know he loves me enough to give it to me. So he said, now, daughter, you be happy. Your faith made you well. Now you go in peace. How many know that precious little woman didn't have any peace for years and years and years? It was just total turmoil in her little head, in her home. She didn't have enough money, barely enough to eat. And now he says, you go in peace. Now you're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed. You know, you got some faith and you go in peace. Now, she's so happy. Then, by the way, Jesus goes back and heals the little girl. He carries on. See, that was not a big deal. That probably all took. It took me probably 10 minutes to tell you that. But it probably took Jesus a minute. Woman walks by, or Jesus is walking by. She touches him. He says, who touched me? The power went out into her. And she said, oh, it was me. And then she tells him what was wrong. And he said, well, daughter, you go in peace. So he talked to her, and that was all there was to it. See, we don't have to have a big old prayer meeting up here. Nothing has to happen. All you've got to do is receive this word I'm giving you right now. So then he's walking along, and he goes, oh, yeah, Mr. Mayor, here, let's go to your house now. So they head on over there, and he said, now don't worry about the daughter. She's not dead. She's just asleep. But the servants just came and said, the girl's dead. She's 12 years old. She's dying. Jesus said, no, don't worry about her. Jesus went down there, put everybody out of the room, except the mama and this man, a couple of the disciples. And then he just told her to rise up. Now he told the man, verse 50, he said, don't be afraid, only believe, she'll be made well. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. See, but we get all worked up, we struggle, and we worry about it, but the man didn't, because he was going with Jesus, and he knew Jesus had quite a reputation. Well, sure enough, the girl got up. He just said, believe, oh, only believe. And she rose up. In the 50s, 60s, Oral Roberts used to sing that song, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. And we did. And that song got in our hearts and we kept it. I want to take you here that will endorse the title of my message. What is this? Who is this? That little girl, she was dying and now she's alive. In fact, she had died. What is this, Satan said. I thought I was killing that little girl. I thought she was dying. Now she's alive. All right, look at this. Luke 9:9. Herod said, I want you to see this, Denise. Make sure you have it up. Luke 9:9. Herod, the mean old king of that time, the Pharaoh of that time, said this. King Herod said, John I have beheaded. But who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. He said, who is this? I just beheaded John. See, so they weren't sure. They thought maybe this was John because John was a powerful man. He was a mighty man of God. And they thought, well, maybe it was John. He said, now I just beheaded him. So who is this that I'm hearing these things about? Now look at me, church. During this time, I prophesy this to you. I hear in my spirit that very soon we will hear this cry, not only from the enemy of our souls, but many that look on. Who is this? What is this that we are hearing about God's people? What are we hearing about you? Is it true that you saw this at your church? Is it true that your husband did this? Is it true that your wife did this? And it's not an ugly thing. It's a powerful, beautiful thing. What is this that we are hearing? Oh, Herod speaking. And so after he began to say that, go over to chapter 13. This is one of my favorite portions of scripture. Probably one of the, I'll never forget the very first time I preached this. The Lord gave it to me in Lake Arrowhead. I was speaking there with a group of, for a group of women with Mother Evans. And if you remember PTL, Rev Ev was there. And it came my time to preach, and I was up half the night seeking a word. And the Lord gave me this. I spoke on the first morning. And it was this verse right here. Now remember this. Herod had already said, I took John out. Now, what is this that I hear? But I want to go take this guy out. If there's another one that's risen up, if there's another John, let me go see him, and I'm going to do something about it. Because when the devil sees you doing pretty good, the church is doing good, the world is doing good, things are happening, he wants to come tear it up. Now, I already took out the towers. I already did 9/11. And what's this I hear? They've already got the memorial built, the beautiful waters falling over. I saw Ground Zero. It was a horrible, frightful place. I saw that right after it happened. What? What is this? I saw the beautiful memorial now, the water, Satan is saying. What is this? A tower taller than the others were? What is that? It's the prayers of America. It's the prayers of America. What is happening? So he says, they came to Jesus, said, Jesus, listen, Herod's looking for you. This demonic man, he's beheaded your best friend, John, and he's getting ready to take you out. And here's what Jesus said, be encouraged. Oh, you're going to love this verse if you've never seen it. Luke 13, verse 32. And he said to them, you go tell that fox. I love it when Jesus calls people names. See, he just called the woman daughter. But he said, you go tell that fox. Behold, I cast out demons, and I perform cures or miracles. And today and tomorrow, I perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I will be perfected. So you go tell him, I was and I am and I'm going to be. I never change. You go tell that fox, I do cures, I heal, I do miracles today, I will do them tomorrow, and I will always do them, saith the Lord. On the third day I will be perfected. Church, do you know what day we live in right now? From the death of Jesus? If one day is as a thousand years and a thousand years as a day, we've already gone 2,000 years and we've come over into the third 1,000 years. We're living now in the third day. And Jesus said, yesterday I cured, and today I cure, and tomorrow I will be perfected in that third day. You're going to see something you have never seen. Woo! But then he had to say in verse 33, now nevertheless, I must journey today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. He said, now let me go because I'm going to journey today. I'll journey tomorrow. I've got to take this trip for you. He's going on a journey, but don't worry, I'll get up on the third day. So he rose on the third day. That was what he was talking about there, the third day. And sure enough, he got up, he rose up. And I'll tell you today, that same Jesus that was doing the cures then is still doing them today. And when, all the way back in the Old Testament, if you, let's just go back there for a minute. Do you see the three Hebrew men? They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bow to the king. And they bound them up. They tied them up with ropes, all three of them, and they threw them into a fiery furnace. And the Bible says they turned the furnace up seven times hotter. And all of a sudden, that king looks down in there, and he said, didn't I throw three men in? Who's that fourth man? What is this? Who is that? As Herod said, who is that? That's Jesus, O Herod. Whenever you're suffering in the middle of the night and all of a sudden a peace comes over you, you're like, what's that? Maybe you should start saying, who is that? You're going to know who it is. Oh, my goodness. Jesus, Jesus. Bruce was telling me the other day about a woman close to him, a person close to him. He said that woman did drugs for so many years. And he said all of a sudden, he said, Dee, come over here a minute. He said she had been doing drugs and she went over to a certain church. And he said there was a man there and all that man did was put his hand on her shoulder and said, in Jesus' name, command that demonic spirit of addiction to go and you be healed in Jesus' name and don't you ever take another drug. And she was totally delivered. Totally. Don't you know that some demon said, what? Who is this? Who is that woman? I had her drug addicted. That's not the same woman. Now tomorrow she isn't? What? I did cures last night. What? You had a 50-pound tumor, Maureen? I remember seeing you. That thing was out to here. A 50-pound tumor. The devil must have said, what? Didn't I give that woman a 50-pound tumor to carry around? And he goes, who is that? Who is it? What happened? You that were an alcoholic and you didn't know that you were so bound with alcoholism and addiction and you had to have that drug and you had to have that fix and all of a sudden, I don't know how you got delivered. You prayed it through. Whatever happened, Jesus came. But whatever it was, when you got close to him and you touched him, it just came out of him and it got in your body. Came out into your body, your soul, and your spirit. Some brother sitting here, some sister that was addicted to pornography. You didn't know how to get out. It was your secret. And you had a secret life. Oh, your life was so secret, no one even knew it. You didn't know what you were going to do, but one day you got close to Jesus. And when you got close, all of a sudden Jesus stopped. And he said, who touched me? And you said, oh, Jesus, it was me, it was me, it was me. And then the devil looked at you and said, who is that man? Who is it? Who is it? The church. The church. We've gotten a little lukewarm. I pray that we weren't lukewarm. I pray we were cold. Because the Bible says it's better to be cold than it is to be lukewarm. I just prayed yesterday. I said, oh, Lord, I pray we were never lukewarm. Maybe we were cold. But, Lord, I believe you're looking at us now. And the devil's going to say, my God, the church has risen up. They're out there burning the streets down. They're out there burning businesses down. But pretty soon my church is going to burn with the fire of God. We will be aflame like they were in the early days. In the days of Pentecost, and tons of fire set upon them all. And the devil will say, who is that? What church is that? Where did they come from? Hallelujah. Come on and stand on your feet and let's worship him. Woo, hallelujah. Come on and praise him, church. He's worthy. He's worthy. Come on, come on. Let's praise him in tongues. Let's praise him in the spirit. Let's set this place on fire. Oh, Satan, I know you're going to say, who is it? What is it? It's the power of God. That's what it is. It's the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. You know what I felt in my spirit? I was sitting out there a few days ago at the beach, and while I was just sitting there meditating, I heard the Spirit saying on Sunday morning, I want to heal some people. I want to demonstrate. I want to demonstrate. You don't have to have anyone touch you. You don't even have to be in the house. However, we love being in the house. But I pray that right now you'll get up close to Jesus. Close your eyes. Get alone with him. Come on. Get alone with him. It's just you and him right there. Touch him right there. Touch him. Touch him. No, you don't need your pastor. You don't need your husband. You don't need your boy out of jail. You just need Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. You don't need your doctor right now. You don't need the attorney right now. You don't need $1 million right now. You just need Jesus. You just need to touch him right there. You just need to touch him. I know we've been all masked up, but the mask is off of our spirit right now. The mask is off and there is no mask on our spirit. There's no mask in heaven. Father, we praise you. Receive your healing right there. Come on, receive your deliverance. No more secret life. I don't care how long you've put up with it. I don't care how long it's been attacking you. I don't care how long the temptation has been there. Jesus, take it. Take it. Take it. Come on. Come on. Give it to him. Give it away. You've been redeemed by his precious blood, by the blood of the Lamb. You are redeemed. You are whole body, your soul, your spirit. Your body, your soul, your spirit. Sanctified. Sanctified. Ask him right now. Oh, he's so perfect, church. He's so perfect. He's so powerful. He's so glorious. He's such a healer. He is the Redeemer. He is the I am. I am what? I am healed. I am free. I am delivered. I am whole. He is I am, and he made you the I am. Oh, to give you his mind. Hallelujah. He was, is, and he is to come. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. We bless your name. We bless your name. Now, church, you better go tell that fox. You better go tell that fox. Today, my Jesus does cures. He did them yesterday. He does them today. And he'll always do cures. He did miracles then. He does miracles now. He'll always do miracles. Why? Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always going to be the same. But he said, I want you to the same. I don't want you to flip out. I don't want you to get all unnerved every time something happens. I want you to put your face like a flint and face me, Jesus said. You just touch me and let me touch you. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless
how
the
great
Lord. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is thanks. My God. Sing with me how great is my God. All will sing how great. Come on, sing it with me. How great is our God? How great is my God? Sing with me. How great is my God? All will see how great. How great is our God?
Come on, his name is above everything.
Lord, church. Hallelujah. Oh, we
bless your name. If there's anyone in this house, you say, I've never given my heart to Jesus. Today is a perfect day to do it. If you're at home watching today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you say, well, there's some things I don't want to give up. No, no, no. You just do it and he'll take care of the rest. He'll help you, I promise. Let him take care of the rest. I heard a parable yesterday, not a story, but a parable. I think it was Daniel that worked with a preacher that worked in Africa. Anyway, he was telling how this man in this dream, he had a dream that he owned this big, magnificent mansion. There was a rich man. He owned a big mansion, had three floors. You at home, listen to this. He had three floors. And one day there was a knock at the door. It was a soft knock. And he opened the door and it was Jesus. And he said, oh, Jesus, come in. I've heard about you. Come on in. Will you stay with me? He said, yes. And he said, well, I'm going to give you the most beautiful room I have. It's a big master bedroom on the top floor. I want you to stay there. You just enjoy yourself. Jesus said, well, thank you. And Jesus moved in. Well, that night the devil came and knocked on the door, just a big old knock. And he opened the door and he said, ooh, I see you. He said, well, let me in. He said, no. He said, I don't want you in. Well, he already had his foot in the door. And then he got his knee in the door and then he pushed the door open because that's how he gets in, just a little bit at a time. And so he went on in and he said he wreaked havoc all night, just aggravated my mind, tore me up. Said, I was thinking, well, where's Jesus? He lives here. And Jesus came down the next morning. He said, where were you? He said, I got aggravated all night. He said, well, you just gave me that one room up there. He said, well, that's all you gave me. He said, well, look, you take the whole floor and I'll take this floor. You have the whole floor. Jesus said, all right, thank you. That's nice. So Jesus kept that floor. Well, the next night it was the same old thing. And he came in, pushed his way in, went on in, just started the same old corruption, same old negative junk, same old temptation, same old mess. So Jesus walks down the next morning, man gets all worked up, says, where were you? I gave you that whole floor. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, you just need to give me the whole house. He said, you need to give me the whole thing. He said, as long as you own the house, as long as you have it, you're going to protect your house. But if it's my house, I will protect it. So he said, you just need to give me the whole thing. So the next night, there came that big knock. And he said he came, he tried to push the door open. All of a sudden, here walks Jesus. Jesus walked down, and he said, excuse me. Push that man out of the way. He said, this is my house. The devil said, what you doing here? He said, oh, no, this is my house. He said, oh, I heard about you. And he just darted back and away. You see, you got to give him possession of everything. He'll take everything, all the hidden places, all those compartments. So would you pray with me right now? Father, in Jesus' name, I give my whole life to you. I give you my body, my soul, and my spirit. All the hidden things, all the hidden rooms, all the secret codes, all the other numbers that nobody knows about, I give them all to you. I give you the hiding places. I give you the secret things. Lord, would you take the wheel, as the old song says, take the wheel. Take my heart, take my mind, take my soul. I give myself to you this day. May my life be changed forever on September 13th, 2020. In Jesus' name. May the Lord say, may the devil say, who is that? What is this? Amen. Let me bless you today. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you, and give you peace. May he say, my son, my daughter, you be cheerful, you be happy, and you go in peace. I bless you this day with prosperity, divine health, healings, cures, and blessings. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. I love you. Online, Wednesday night at 6:30.